Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This time we're going to be exploring the world of prophets
Oh,
in
okay.
the Hebrew Bible,
Cool.
and we'll be using a really cool lecture by Dr. Marv Wilson,
Okay.
who knows a lot about this stuff.
All right.
So get ready to learn how prophets shaped history and why they were way more than just predictors of the future.
Yeah, it's easy to think of the Bible as like this static, unchanging document. But Dr. Wilson reminds us that it was actually, it's the result of a dynamic process. There were scribes, disciples, collectors, and editors who all played a part in shaping these texts.
It's kind of like how history is written even today, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's always an element of interpretation.
Yeah.
Dr. Wilson gives a fascinating example. He mentions how the place Dan is mentioned even before the patriarch Dan was even born.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it's like finding an anachronism in a historical novel. It's a clue that editors were at work.
That's so interesting. So before we jump into all those fiery pronouncements and visions, let's talk about what prophet even means.
Okay.
Dr. Wilson, he dives into all the different terms used in the Bible, and it's not as simple as you might think.
Right. It's definitely not just one size fits all.
Yeah.
Each term kind of reveals a slightly different, facet of what the prophetic role is.
Okay.
Like, for instance, man of God highlights their character and their divine calling,
Okay.
while servant kind of emphasizes their role as messengers
Messenger.
and not like power-hungry leaders or anything.
So it's less about personal ambition,
Right.
more about serving a higher purpose.
Yeah, precisely.
Okay.
And then there's Malak Yahweh.
Malach Yahweh.
Literally, it means messenger of God,
Oh, wow.
like a cosmic mailman delivering a message. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
And this term pops up in Malachi to describe John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. So even in the New Testament, we see these echoes of this prophetic tradition.
Oh, that's really cool. So it seems like these messengers had a pretty important job, but what about Navi?
Okay, so Navi, that's like the most common term.
Okay.
It really gets to the heart of it. The root of the word means to speak.
To speak.
Yeah, so it makes it clear that a prophet's primary role is to act as God's spokesperson.
Okay.
Like the flow of information goes from God to the prophet to the people.
So that's different from the role of a priest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
A priest represents the people to God,
Okay.
but the prophet is kind of the
They
opposite.
bring God's message.
Yeah, think of Moses and Aaron.
Okay.
Moses received the message from God, and then Aaron had to go deliver it to Pharaoh.
Oh,
It
okay.
was a relay race of divine communication.
I like that relay race of divine communication, but delivering those tough messages must have been pretty daunting, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Dr. Wilson points out that prophets often faced resistance, even persecution. It wasn't exactly a popularity contest. I
Right.
mean, Moses himself came up with like four excuses when God called him to be a prophet and go to Pharaoh.
Yeah, I would too, probably. So if it wasn't about seeking fame or fortune, then what motivated these individuals to take on such a challenging role?
Well, it seems like a profound sense of calling,
Okay.
and just like a commitment to the truth played a huge role. Think about prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. They were warned that their messages would fall on deaf ears
Oh, wow.
and hard hearts, and yet they persevered, like they were driven by something larger than themselves.
That's really powerful. Speaking of challenging norms, I was really struck by Dr. Wilson's mention of Huldah,
Oh, yeah.
a prophetess. She was so respected that a gate in Jerusalem was named after her.
Wow.
It really makes you think, women played a vital role in conveying God's message, too.
Yeah, it definitely challenges the assumption that prophecy was a solely male-dominated thing.
Yeah. And speaking of challenging assumptions,
Yeah.
Dr. Wilson really dives into all the different literary forms used in prophetic
Right,
writing,
right.
and it's not just about fire and brimstone pronouncements.
No, it's much more than that. We see straightforward narratives like the Book of Jonah.
Okay.
We see these thought-provoking dialogues like in Habakkuk,
Okay.
where the prophet actually questioned God directly.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. And then there's also those short, impactful pronouncements of judgment or hope,
Okay.
the oracles.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of variety.
Wait, so questioning God directly, that's pretty bold.
It is. And Dr. Wilson, he points out that the book of Habakkuk is actually structured as a dialogue
Okay.
with the prophet raising these tough questions and God responding to them.
Wow.
It's like a glimpse into this like wrestling match between faith and doubt.
That makes me think about what was the relationship between prophets and authority? Were they always adversarial, or were there instances of collaboration?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it really speaks to how complex this prophetic role was.
Yeah.
They weren't just passive mouthpieces. They really grappled with their faith, with their communities, and with like the very nature of God's will.
So we've got narratives, dialogues, oracles. What else?
Oh, we can't forget about the visions.
The visions, right?
Yeah. Those are the apocalyptic glimpses into the future and God's ultimate plan.
Okay.
Books like Isaiah, Zechariah, and Ezekiel are full of them.
So I guess my question is, were they meant to be literal predictions or like symbolic representations of spiritual truths?
That is a fascinating question.
Yeah.
And it's one that scholars are still debating today.
It makes you wonder what resonates with people across time and cultures.
It really does.
So it's not just about predicting the future, but about offering a different way of seeing the world.
Exactly.
Okay.
And through all these different literary forms, the prophets did something truly remarkable. They challenged their communities, they called for social justice, and they offered a vision of a better world.
So I'm curious, how did these diverse messages actually reach us? Were the prophets just wandering around with scrolls and like scribbling down their thoughts?
Well, that's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Dr. Wilson suggests that there were multiple stages in the transmission of these prophetic writings.
Okay.
Sometimes prophets, like Isaiah, wrote down their own messages. Remember how he talks about writing on a tablet?
Oh, right. And didn't he mention that prophets had like assistants too?
Yeah, like scribes or amanuenses.
Amanuenses.
It's like Jeremiah and his scribe, Baruch. They were taking dictation.
Oh, right.
And even the Apostle Paul had scribes helping him out.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So these scribes were like personal secretaries.
Yeah.
Capturing the prophet's words.
Exactly. But it wasn't just about transcribing. These individuals were often trusted confidants.
Oh, okay.
They played a key role in shaping and preserving the message.
It really makes you realize how much we take for granted when it comes to the written word.
I know, right?
Yeah. And then there were the disciples, those dedicated followers who absorbed the teachings.
Right, right.
And passed them down.
Like an inner circle.
Okay.
The ones who really understood the message.
It makes sense that they'd want to make sure these teachings didn't fade into obscurity.
Right.
But with so many different people involved, how did they organize all of these teachings?
Well, that's where the collectors come in.
Collectors?
Yeah, they gathered these teachings
on
after the prophet's death, and they tried to create some kind of structure.
So arranging things by theme, chronologically.
Yeah, precisely.
Trying to make sense of it all.
Exactly. But Dr. Wilson, he points out that chronology can be tricky.
Oh, right.
For example, the book of Isaiah, his call to be a prophet is in chapter 6.
Oh, wow.
Not at the beginning.
So I guess that's where the editors come in.
The editors are redactors.
Right, redactors.
Giving these writings their final form, adding context, smoothing out any rough edges.
Okay, so it was this complex process of transmission and refinement with multiple hands shaping these writings over time.
Absolutely, and it reminds us that these texts weren't just dropped from the sky fully formed.
Yeah.
They were shaped by human hands and human understanding, guided by divine inspiration.
Okay, that really gives me a new perspective on how these messages came to be.
Good.
But I'm still curious about, like, the different types of prophets and their roles.
Okay.
It's not like doom and gloom pronouncements.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
And Dr. Wilson points out that even the term prophet is used in a bunch of different ways.
Okay.
He starts by talking about general terms like man of God, which emphasizes, you know, their character and divine calling.
Right, like they were chosen for this role because of their strong moral compass.
Exactly.
Not just anyone could be a prophet.
Right.
And then their servant highlighting their role as messengers.
Yes.
Not ego-driven leaders. Mm-hmm. As it's not about seeking power or fame, but about humbly serving a higher purpose.
Precisely.
It's a good reminder that true leadership is about service, not self-aggrandizement.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to Malak Yahweh.
Oh, yeah, our cosmic postman.
Aha, exactly.
A vital link in the chain of divine communication.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this term is also used to describe John the Baptist, bridging the Old and New Testaments.
Right. So even in the New Testament, we see these of the prophetic tradition.
Exactly.
But what about Navi, that most common term? What makes it so central to understanding the role of a prophet?
Navi gets to like the core function of a prophet.
Okay.
To speak on behalf of God, conveying that divine message to the people.
Right. He even connected to the word vocation, emphasizing the idea of being called to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a divine hotline to the ultimate source of truth.
It's a powerful image for sure.
Yeah. And remember, this flow of information is distinct from the role of the priest.
Yeah, exactly.
The prophet acts as that bridge in the other direction.
Right.
Bringing God's message to the people.
And as we said before, that message wasn't always easy to deliver.
Yeah.
Remember how Moses came up with all those excuses?
Oh, yeah. He really did not want to go to Pharaoh.
I don't blame him.
And it's important to remember that it wasn't just men who took on this challenging role.
Right.
We have examples like Huldah, the prophetess who was honored with a gate named after her in Jerusalem.
Yeah, her story really challenges the assumption that prophecy was a male-dominated domain.
So we've got these compelling figures, these messengers of the divine, and they're using all sorts of creative means to convey their message. Narratives, dialogues, oracles, and even apocalyptic visions.
It's like a tapestry woven from all these diverse threads, each contributing to a larger, more complex picture.
And through all these forms, the prophets challenged their communities, called for social justice, and offered a vision of a better world.
Absolutely.
But there's another crucial aspect to their role that Dr. Wilson emphasizes, foretelling and foretelling.
Right. So it's not just about predicting the future, but about speaking truth in the present moment. And offering guidance for the path ahead.
And that's where we'll pick up in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll explore these two sides of the prophetic coin, forthtelling and foretelling, and delve into the impact of these messages on individuals, communities, and the course of history.
Sounds good.
So we've established that prophets weren't just like, you know, predicting the future. There's this whole other forthtelling part where they're like calling out injustice and speaking truth to power. It's like they were the original social activists.
That's a great way to put it. Dr. Wilson really emphasizes this aspect of their work.
Okay.
Highlighting how they challenged the status quo and, you know, pushed their communities towards a more just and compassionate way of life.
But were there ever instances where their messages like reinforced existing power structures? I mean, it's hard to imagine that prophets were always like on the side of the marginalized.
That's a really insightful question.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of how we interpret these texts.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember that prophets were products of their time and place.
Okay.
And their messages were often shaped by the social and political context in which they lived.
So it's not as simple as saying all prophets were like progressive revolutionaries.
Exactly. It's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
While some prophets were fiery advocates for the poor and oppressed, others focused on upholding traditional values and maintaining social order.
Okay.
Dr. Wilson even points out that some prophets supported the monarchy, while others challenged its authority.
So it sounds like a pretty complex landscape to navigate. How can we like disentangle these different strands of prophetic thought?
Well, one key is to look at the specific issues they addressed.
Okay.
Dr. Wilson mentions how prophets spoke out against things like slavery, drunkenness, intermarriage, and idolatry.
Wow, those are some pretty hot-button issues.
Yeah, they touched on the very fabric of their society.
So they weren't afraid to like get their hands dirty and grapple with the real-world problems of their time.
Not at all.
Okay, so we've got this forthtelling aspect, the call to action, the challenge to live a more just and compassionate life.
Right.
But what about the foretelling part?
Okay.
Was it all like doom and gloom pronouncement and they're like, the end is nigh?
Not quite. While prophets did sometimes foretell imminent disasters, like the destruction of Jerusalem.
Right.
Their messages often contained elements of hope and restoration.
Like a beacon of light amidst the darkness.
Exactly. And the ultimate hope they offered was the vision of a messianic age.
Okay.
A time of peace, justice, and righteousness on earth.
So even when things looked bleak, they were pointing towards a brighter future.
Absolutely. Dr. Wilson highlights this beautiful imagery used to describe this future age.
Okay.
Swords being beaten into plowshares, lions lying down with lambs, and everyone living in peace and security.
It sounds like a powerful antidote to all the cynicism and despair that we see in the world today.
It really is.
But I'm curious, how did these prophets go about delivering these messages? Were they just like standing on street corners, shouting at passersby?
Well, Dr. Wilson points to the diverse literary forms we talked about earlier as evidence of their creativity and adaptability. They use narratives, dialogues, oracles, and visions to connect with their audiences and make their messages resonate.
So it was about more than just the words themselves.
Yeah.
It was about crafting a compelling and impactful experience for the listener.
Precisely. They understood the power of storytelling, the importance of imagery and symbolism.
Okay.
They weren't just delivering dry pronouncements. They were weaving intricate tapestries of words and ideas that captured the imagination and stirred the soul.
That makes me wonder about the role of performance in all of this. Were these messages delivered in a like dramatic or theatrical way?
That's a fascinating question, and one that scholars are still debating.
Okay.
We know that prophets often used symbolic actions to reinforce their messages. Think of Isaiah walking around naked for 3 years as a sign of impending exile.
Oh, wow.
Or Jeremiah smashing a clay pot to symbolize the destruction of Jerusalem.
Wow, talk about a powerful visual aid.
Right. It's not just about telling people what's going to happen. It's about showing them, making it visceral and unforgettable.
So it's like this blend of prophecy, performance art, and social commentary.
That's a great way to think about it.
Okay, so we've got these captivating figures, mm-hmm. these messengers of the divine, mm-hmm. using all their creative powers to deliver messages of warning, hope, and transformation.
But amidst all this pathetic fervor, how can we tell the real deal from the phonies?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, history is full of people claiming to speak for a higher power.
Right.
But their messages don't always pan out.
So how do we separate, like, the wheat from the chaff?
Right.
What are the hallmarks of a true prophet?
Okay.
And how can we avoid being led astray by false claims and empty promises?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And it's one that Dr. Wilson tackles head-on in the final part of his lecture.
So how do we discern genuine prophetic voices from those who are just like blowing smoke?
That's what we'll be diving into next. Get ready for some serious truth testing as we explore the criteria for discerning genuine prophetic voices from the fakes.
Okay, so we've been on this journey through the world of prophets, their messages, their methods, their impact on history.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're at just like really big question. How do we tell a true prophet from a false one? Not everyone who says they're speaking for God is actually legit.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And it's a question that's still relevant today.
Yeah, totally.
Dr. Wilson, he gives us some like guidelines to help sort through this tricky stuff.
Okay.
He starts by emphasizing that true prophets have a genuine relationship with God.
Okay.
It's not about personal gain or, you know, just conjuring up fancy pronouncements.
Right.
It's about being called by like a higher power,
mm-hmm.
and speaking with authenticity and integrity.
So it's about more than just like charisma or being a good speaker.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about a deeper connection to something bigger than themselves.
Right. And you can see that connection reflected in their message.
Okay.
True prophets, they uphold God's character, you know, his covenant.
Right.
Emphasizing justice, righteousness, and compassion.
So they're not just telling people what they want to hear.
No, not at all.
Or promising an easy path to, like, riches and happiness.
Right. They're willing to speak truth to power.
Yeah.
Even when it's unpopular or, you know, makes people uncomfortable.
They're not afraid to rock the boat a little.
Exactly.
And I think another important point that Dr. Wilson makes is that true prophets are part of their community.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not these isolated figures, you know, yeah. detached from everyone else.
Right. They live among the people. They share their burden.
Mm-hmm.
They offer guidance and support.
So it's about living out what you're preaching.
Yeah, exactly. Walking the walk.
Not just talking the talk.
And, you know, their prophecies, even the ones about the future,
mm-hmm.
they're often conditional.
Conditional. Okay.
They highlight the consequences of choices.
Okay.
Both individual and collective.
Right.
Emphasizing that the future isn't, you know, set in stone.
Okay.
It can be shaped by what people do.
So it's not about some predetermined script,
right.
but it's like a call to action.
Mm-hmm.
Urging people to make choices that are in line with God's will
yeah.
to create a better future.
Exactly. It's about empowering people to take responsibility
okay.
for their destiny.
That's really powerful. And I guess the most important test of a true prophet,
yeah.
according to Dr. Wilson, is whether their prophecies actually come true.
Yeah, time will tell.
Yeah.
Time reveals whether they were really connected to the divine.
So it's not just about making predictions. It's about those predictions being proven right.
Yeah, demonstrating that link to a higher power.
Wow. So time really is the ultimate truth teller.
It really is. And Dr. Wilson, he contrasts this with the false prophets.
Okay.
Who are often just seeking their own glory or profit.
Right.
Their messages might go against God's character. And their prophecies, well, they just don't come true.
So it's about looking beyond the surface, examining their message, their motivation, and their track record.
Exactly.
We need to be like careful listeners,
mm-hmm.
not just blindly following anyone who claims to speak for God.
Right. You got to be discerning.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating like a critical awareness.
Okay.
Being willing to question and evaluate what we hear.
So it's not just about what they say. It's about how they live, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about looking for consistency.
Wow, Dr. Wilson has really given us a lot to consider.
He has.
It's been an amazing journey through the world of prophets. We've seen how they challenged norms, spoke truth to power, and offered a vision for a better world.
And it reminds us that the prophetic tradition, it's not just ancient history.
Yeah.
It's a living legacy.
It challenges us to do more than just watch from the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
It calls us to get involved, to fight for justice, and to live lives of meaning and purpose.
Exactly. And as we try to navigate this complex world today,
yeah.
with all its challenges and opportunity,
that message is more important than ever.
I think so.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with a question. What does it mean to be a prophet in your own life?
How can you live out those values of justice, compassion, and truth in your own way?
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.